door swing wide. I see glory as I run inside the throne room before you. Oh, I bow.
The veil is torn, the door swing wide. I see glory as I run inside the throne room before.
God, who takes away the sins of the world. He's holy. He's a holy God. Praise the Lord. God is so good. He is so good. Praise the name of the Lord. This time we're going to dismiss our children to Children's Church, age 5 to 11, of our children to Children's Church. I want to give you a quick announcement that we have already raised the money to finish the second, third floor of the new Christian school, and we are working diligently on that. We're finishing up a few little electrical issues, and then insulation next week. We're going to put insulation into the interior walls and sheetrock it, and then finish it out. We got the money to do that, so we won't be long. We'll be in the new Christian school. We want to thank you for your prayers, your support, and your finances that you've blessed this church and you've blessed the kingdom of God. In the month of November, we're going to be going out and we're going to be having these, what we had talked about a while back, and that is having some services on Tuesday and Thursday for little children in this area. We're going to make flyers. And we're going to create teams to rotate in these services. This is going to be an outreach, kind of like a Mom's Day out. They're going to bring their kids up here, and we're going to have games for them, but we're going to preach to them, have services, and we're going to reach our community for Christ. We don't have much time left. That's just the facts. Time is running out. And what we do in this kingdom, we don't have much time left to do it. And I don't want to be lazy. I don't want to be lethargic. I want to be about my Father's business. Don't you? Amen. Jesus is coming soon. And we're to occupy till he comes, but we are to do God's work while we work and while we occupy. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 111. Psalms chapter 111. Give me a little bit more monitor up here, just a little. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. I'm going to read it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to come in the house of worship, to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Lord, we feel your presence in the sanctuary today. We pray that you would anoint this word. I pray that it would find an entrance into our hearts. Lord, the living word of God is powerful. It can change us and transform us. Let us hear the word of God with spiritual ears this morning. I pray for the anointing on my life that makes preaching effective. Lord, I pray that you would let it do its perfect work in our hearts and in our lives. And we ask you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on how to have a healthy fear of the Lord. One of the most important biblical principles of Christianity that is missing in the modern church age today is a healthy fear of the Lord. You're talking about a God, the God that we serve, that created the heavens and the earth and all that is in it. He's the God that numbers every one of our days. He makes a decision on how long you live. I understand we can speed the process up by doing things to our body and maybe putting ourselves in a situation we should not be in. But I can tell you this, God has our days numbered. We can't add to our life, ladies and gentlemen. I believe you can cut your life short by your own decisions, but God has a time span. That ought to make every one of us have a sobriety spiritually about our lives, knowing that God has everything in our life in his hands. Listen, he's the God who created all things. He holds my destiny in his hands. Everything is in the hand of Almighty God. That ought to make me fear him. Amen. He's God, and he is almighty in every way. We need to regain a healthy fear of the Lord. It's lost in many churches today among many in the church world. But listen, we must not confuse the spirit of fear with the fear of the Lord. We preach against the spirit of fear. The Bible says in the book of Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, God hath not given us a spirit of fear. That's a spirit from hell that torments you and causes you to be paralyzed and not to do what you're supposed to do. Listen, the spirit of fear affects us in many ways. That's not what he's talking about when he talks about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is something altogether different. It is a reverence. It's an awe. It is you're walking soft before the Lord. Listen, there's a whole lot that entails the spirit of the Lord, and it's very clear that if we don't have it, we're going to be in a whole lot of trouble. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can't even have wisdom without the fear of the Lord. Wisdom is a whole lot better than intelligence or a high IQ. Wisdom comes from God. It is supernatural. And listen, it is the very beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Again, if you don't have fear, you can't even begin to have any kind of wisdom at all. When we understand this, we will begin to seek the fear of the Lord. If you don't have enough of it, you need to seek more of it. I believe we all need to come into a place that we have a divine revelation of Almighty God as Isaiah had. You remember whenever King Uzziah died? It was the year that King Uzziah died. The Bible said that Isaiah saw the Lord and he was high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And listen, whenever Isaiah saw the Lord, all of a sudden he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I dwell among a people of unclean lips." He knew there was sin in his life. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever we get in the presence of a holy God, we'll have the same awestruck experience. We'll come under conviction. That's why we need the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost operating in our personal lives and operating in the sanctuary. That's where conviction comes from. When the presence of God comes down, it'll create a fear in our hearts once again. We must understand this. But before discussing and going too deep in the fear of the Lord, let me just give you a small glimpse of His majesty. Psalms 19 and 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Just for a moment, as we ponder the boundless expanse of the universe, we can catch a glimpse of God's unlimited glory. Stay with me. In the words of David, the universe declares His glory, not just the world, but the universe. God's creation is not limited to earth, but encompasses even the unknown universe. God has arranged the stars of the heaven with His fingers. Psalms 8 and 3. For most of us, it is difficult to comprehend the vastness of the universe. But let's just take the sun, for example. The sun. Besides our sun, the nearest star is 4.3 light years away. But the sun itself is so far away from you and I that it would take, they say, a regular airplane flies 500 miles an hour. If we were on an airplane, it would take literally 21 days to get to the sun nonstop. But the light travels so fast that it can be at the earth in just a few seconds. You're talking about the handiwork of God. That's an awesome thing. They say that there are so many stars. There are trillions and trillions of stars. There are even new galaxies that they're finding. Do you know that the closest star other than the sun is, they say, like 4.6 million light years away from us? I was reading some material, and they said the sun, the reflection from off those stars is so many years. Even the light, because it's so many trillion miles away, it takes years and years for that light to reach this planet. And think about it. Psalm says that God holds it all in His hand, from the span of a hand, that's the end of your thumb, to the very tip of your small pinky. God has it in His hands. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, we serve a great God. God created us with hundreds of millions of molecules and atoms, all that the body's made of. And you just begin to think about all that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in God. Thought us all up in all the intricate details of the human body. I'm going to tell you something. We serve a great God. All you got to do is think about the earth as it spins on its axis. Look up at the clouds, the trees, all of the animals, the sea, and all of the fish and the creatures in the sea. I'm telling you, sometimes we just got to stop and look around and see the majesty of our great God. He's an awesome God, and He holds everything in His hand, and He is in control of everything. Why did I say all of this? Because He is God, the creator of all things. We lose sight of His awesomeness oftentimes. He's God. He's always been here, and He always will be here. Brother Matt, can you explain how God has always been here? Absolutely not. I do not know. The Bible just says He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's always been here. I just don't understand that. If I can't understand it and wrap my mind around it, I have a hard time believing it. Well, listen, you don't have to understand it. God never commanded us to understand everything in this Bible. Just believe everything in the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's a supernatural thing. You don't have to understand why. Just understand that God is, and He is who He says He is, and He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Ladies and gentlemen, He's an awesome God. We must fear this awesome God. It is the beginning of wisdom. We lose our fear of God when we lose sight of who He is, and we get distorted, get distracted with this world and all the minor allurements of the world. So how do we continue to keep a healthy fear of God? For the Christian, first of all, we must realize that this thing called love, fear, and obedience are all intertwined. I've preached messages on the love of God. I love preaching on the love of God. Oh, His love is so vast and powerful. I preach scripture. I preach messages on the obedience of the saint. And I've preached on the fear of the Lord. But if you look in the Word of God, you'll find that love, fear, and obedience are all interconnected. They're all intertwined. Love, fear, and obedience are inseparable. I'm going to give you three passages from the beginning. Proverbs 16 and 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. 2 John 1 and 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Here it is, simply put. You cannot love God without fearing God. You cannot love him without obeying his word. And you do not truly fear God unless you love and obey God. Oh, I know it sounds like a mixture of sentences put together, but they are inseparable. They are all intertwined. I'm talking to you about love, fear, and obedience. Brother Matt, how do you interpret the scripture? Well, here's a rule in biblical interpretation. We tell the School of Ministry students this all the time. Scripture interprets scripture. How do you build a biblical theological perspective? You take all of the scripture and you look at it as a whole. You cannot take one thing out of context and say, that I'm going to build a theological viewpoint on this. You got to look at everything. And as you read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find that love, fear, and obedience are all inseparable. Some ministries focus on just the fear of the Lord. I understand the fear of the Lord is a subject talked about all throughout the Word of God, but they talk about the judgment of God. Yes, I'm going to preach on the judgment of God. If you and I are out of relationship with God and we die, we're in trouble with God. If the rapture takes place and we're lukewarm, you and I are in trouble with God. Listen, to think about missing out with God is a fearful thing. Yes, we are to preach on the fear of the Lord, and we are to preach on the judgment of God. But some just preach and they focus in on that category and they leave out the precious love of God. Others, on the flip side, they focus on nothing more than the love of God. They talk about a love of, if you just love God, everything will be all right. You don't have to do anything. You just get saved, you just say a prayer, and everything will be all right. Well, I can tell you, there's nothing further from the truth of the Word of God. It takes everything. Listen, love will drive me. Fear is intertwined with love and obedience. When you love Him, you will keep His commandments. That's the words of Christ. Whenever we begin to lift our hands and sing in the church house and leave this place and act like the devil going down the road, listen, there's a problem with that. There has to be a change in the heart. There has to be a change in the life. It's not just what we say, how we sing, how we worship. It's how we live when we leave this place. It's how we walk according to the Word of God. It truly determines whether we love God or not. We need that love to drive us. They say oftentimes, fear is not for Christians. It has torment. You cannot walk with God if you fear Him. Love is the only response to grace you'll ever need. If you love God, hear me, you will obey Him. Pulpits across this country, they focus on love. Love, love, love. Praise God, God is love. But the overwhelming attribute of God is not love. Well, I just messed up somebody's theology right there. But the overwhelming attribute of God is holiness. He is holy. The angels in heaven right now are not crying out, love, love, love. No, the doorposts are shaking. The heavens quaking right now at the holiness of the Almighty God. They're not crying out, love, love, love. They're crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Listen to me. He's a holy God, first and foremost. Yes, God so loved the world, but we have to take everything together. It's all inseparable. We must take all of the Scripture. It sounds good, but listen, if you're not living right, you really don't love Him. That's according to the Word of God. Jesus said the only kind of love acceptable to Him is obedience to His every command. Obeying His Word in all things, at all times. Let's look what He says again. Again in John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 15 and 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. 1 John 5 and 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Isn't it something whenever you really fall in love with Jesus, it's not hard to keep the Word of God? Come on, church. I'm telling you, listen, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But how are you going to keep His commandments if you're not in love with Him? These three things are inseparable. Jesus Christ could not have made it plainer. Loving Him means obeying His every command. So what produces consistent, lasting obedience? You guessed it, the fear of the Lord. Let me say it like this. Obedience birthed by a true fear of God is love perfected. You hear that? Obedience birthed by a true fear of God is love perfected. Yes, I know we don't hear this preached in a lot of pulpits today. Instead, Jesus is portrayed as a doting grandfather. It's okay, son. Come, just dust yourself up and get back up. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. There comes a time that you continue to enter into adultery, fornication, whenever you can't get free from that pornography, alcoholism. Listen, the only people who get mad when I preach on alcoholism is people who are alcoholics. The only people who get mad when I preach on pornography is people who are dabbling in pornography behind closed doors. The only time that anybody gets mad when we talk about money is people who rob God every other week. Come on, church. I'm telling you, it's time once again to get back to keeping the Word of the living God. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Oh, and I'll send the comforter. Listen, the comforter wants to come and help the church in this hour, but we've got to keep the Word of the living God. I know we don't hear it preached oftentimes. Instead, Jesus is portrayed in another way. Of course, He knows we're all weak, and at times we have all fallen. Listen, I have sinned, you have sinned. Thank God for the blood of the cross. I'm going to just go ahead and lay the foundation. I thank God that whenever I fail, I can come to an altar and repent, turn from it. And yes, God's merciful. But listen, if you're just sad you got caught, or you're upset that you got caught again, and you're going through the painful process again, that is a worldly sorrow that produces death. It's only godly sorrow that produces that work work unto salvation. You can't be sorry that you got caught again, that you failed your spouse again, that you upset your grandparents or your parents again. You've got to look at this in a different light. I have hurt the heart of Almighty God. He is holy. He died on that cross for me. And I want to love him with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Simply, it all boils down to this. If you truly have the fear of God in you, then you will obey his every word. And doing that, you will be loving him in a way he says is acceptable to him. If you fear the Lord and obey his words in all things, you won't have to keep examining your heart to see if you truly love him. You won't keep trying to measure your love by your tears or lack of tears. You can simply rest in his word. Christ's very own words is, our obedience equates to love. If you fear the Lord and obey his word in all things, we know that we love him. Some people express their love in praise and worship. I believe that this church is, we love our music, don't we? We got good worshipers in this house, but this right here, with your tears coming down your cheeks and feeling the doodads all over, does not equate to true love. That does not equate. Listen, oftentimes we think because we feel the Spirit of God on us in a service, God must be pleased with me. I know that I've been doing a certain thing. I haven't been keeping his word. I haven't been obedient to the word of God, but I still feel God. So he must be pleased. He just blessed me with a raise. He just blessed me in this area. He just gave me a new car. I just now found that right one. I must be pleasing unto the Lord. Don't ever fool yourself. It was Samson who continued to break that Nazarite vow over and over again. God was still with him. God was giving him a space to repent. But there came a time, it was with Samson, and it will be with every one of us. We'll shake ourselves just like Samson did, and wist not that the Spirit of the Lord has departed. We must be very careful. Some people express their love, praise and worship and singing. Oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus, lover of my soul. I can only imagine. Think about all those songs we sing. But if you do that in the church house, but you walk out of this place and don't obey the word of God, it's all a sham. Do you hear me? We can play games like the best of them. Brother Duke Down said, he's in Southern California. He said, the church people, they're right there in Hollywood, and they are as good actors as people on TV sometimes in the church house. God has commanded us, church. He has commanded us to forsake the world, to separate ourselves from evil companions, and to crucify our flesh with the lust and the passions thereof. Are you obeying him in these things? That is the question for every one of us. Are you keeping the word of God? If not, you are continually disobeying the word, and he has given us, we are giving him worship and lip service that is totally unacceptable unto the Lord. I've heard people say, you can't obey all the commandments in the Bible. And even if you did keep them all, it still wouldn't save you because that's legalism. Some of you were, maybe you're thinking that. Is that legalism? Well, it was Jan Crouch from TBN that interviewed Brother Clendenin many years ago. It was the only time they ever interviewed him and the last time they ever interviewed him. She said, Brother Clendenin, are you really trying to say that if a person doesn't pray, they're not a Christian? He said, that's exactly what I'm saying. And she said, isn't that legalism? He said, if that's legalism, then Jesus was the most legalistic person on this planet. Let me tell you your relationship. Listen, if I stop coming home, listen, when I go on trips, I've learned I better text and call my wife a little bit more, even on mission trips, or I get in trouble. But if I stop coming home over a period of time and I stop coming in and communing with that lady, listen, she might end up changing the locks on the doors because I stopped coming home. Listen, this walk with God is about relationship. And when you love him, you will keep his commandments. Oh, it's not hard. It's not grievous. We're not working our way into the kingdom of God. No, we love him, and we're going to keep his word. It's on the contrary. It's not legalism. We tried to destroy Christ's commands by calling them the law. The wonderful commandments he gave us were for our good, to save us from ourselves and from our sins. He commanded us to repent of our sins. Repentance, you know what that means? To turn from it. Listen, if you're, my pastor used to say it like this. If you're shacked up with somebody, you know what that means? Living with them and having premarital sex before marriage. That is a sin against God. You can, if you continue to do that and you come down the altar and you repent or you cry and the tears come down your face and, Lord, I know this is wrong. I know that, but you go back and do the same thing again. You haven't really repented. I know this is for a different crowd, but it's the word of God. I'm going to preach it anyway. Listen to me. Listen. Whenever we continue to willfully sin, there comes a hardening of that heart. It doesn't matter what it is. If God's word tells us to do something, we better do it. Whenever we respond to the Holy Ghost, there's a tenderness there that's produced. But whenever he speaks by his word and by his spirit, and I let it go in one ear and out the other, it produces a hardness of that heart. Ladies and gentlemen, do you want to see the hand of God? Do you want to see miracles? I can tell you that sanctification and purity position us for miracles and power. If we want to see the revival that God's promised in the last day, there is a condition. We must be separated from this world. We must be with clean hands and a pure heart. He's commanded us to repent. He's commanded us to believe the gospel. He's commanded us to love our brother as ourselves, to forgive others, and he in turn would forgive us. If you don't forgive your brother or sister, you're not going to be forgiven. When Jesus says we're not saved by the law, he's talking about something altogether different. He's talking about our efforts to earn salvation the way the Jewish leaders tried to by observing all of the religious customs, the washing of pots and pans, the carefully calculated tithe, and all the rest of the 660 works of the flesh. No one can ever be saved by works. But I ask you, which of the Ten Commandments can we break and still go to heaven? Thou shalt not commit adultery. If you're committing adultery, do you think you're going to go to heaven? Well, let me tell you what the Word says. Hebrews 13 and 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And that's just one passage of Scripture. When you look at the church in Galatians chapter 6, he deals with the works of the flesh. He's not dealing with the sinner. He's dealing with the church member. And he says, these are the works of the flesh. And he names them. And we, if you have one of these Life in the Spirit study Bibles, these fire Bibles, it gives you the Greek breakdown, the definitions of all the works of the flesh. Listen, I'd want to know exactly what they are, because he says, if you do those things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Listen, what part of you're not inheriting the kingdom of heaven don't we understand? I can tell you, he's not a doting grandpa. He's a holy God, and he commands us to line up with the word of God. Brother Matt, we cannot line up with the word of God. That's the Old Testament law. We were weak in the flesh. Listen, I can in my own flesh, but by the power of God's Spirit, by the grace of Almighty God, I can come out from that world. I can be separated unto God. I can live separated and clean before a holy God. I believe it's impossible to consistently walk in obedience and holiness unless you have the fear of the Lord in your heart. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, you will eventually believe God is easy on sin. This happens a lot. God understands. And this goes back to we've come to a place where we've become desensitized. I'm in the church. I feel his presence. I know, listen, God knows my heart. Yeah, he sure does. He knows everything about us. God knows my heart. He knows I love him, but I just can't get over this. No, what it all comes down to is we love this more than we love him. That's what it comes down to, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, excuses, you can have about 95 plus percent of the preachers in America say, no, that ain't right. God loves you. You're secure. But listen, when you get to heaven and you're not secure because you didn't live according to the word of God, you'll be looking for that preacher in hell if you can navigate through hell. I can tell you something. We better get back to the book, ladies and gentlemen. It's not an Old Testament law. It is life. When you love him, he said, keep my commandments. We think because God is our loving Heavenly Father, he'll never reject us. We better think again. Brother Matt, how can I obtain a healthy fear of the Lord? This is the good part right here. Psalms 34 and 11, it says, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. God teaches us the fear of him through his word. He used Moses to give us two examples of how we are to learn to fear the Lord. I'm going to go back to Psalms 34 and 11. Listen, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. So fearing the Lord does not always come natural. You know, fearing my daddy didn't come natural. I had to be chastened. I had to learn some fear. Amen? And we have to learn how to fear the Lord. That's the reason why so many in the world today have no fear of God. Here we have two examples in the Word of God. Before Moses died, he prescribed for Israel's kings how to walk in obedience. Moses could not see prophetically that the children of Israel were going to make kings, or he could see prophetically that the children of Israel were going to make kings after their own lust. So what did he do? He prophesied to future kings. We can read this in Deuteronomy 17 and 15 through 19. Every king was constantly to feed his soul and mind on God's past dealings with Israel. Do you hear me? God, he commissioned them to look back at God's past dealings because, see, remember, here's a principle in the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just because it's Old Testament doesn't mean God's changed, because God changes not. We have a new covenant. Oh, it was Jesus himself who said, I did not come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. Amen? So we look at God's pattern in the Old Testament. And if you look at God's dealing with kings in the book of Chronicles, in the book of 1 Samuel, you'll find how God deals with those who obey him and those who disobey him. As we search again and again through these 2 Kings, 1 Kings, the book of Chronicles, each time God's dealings have been very clear. I want you to pay attention. Each time God's dealings have been very clear because he's the same in his dealings. And the king did that which was right before the Lord, as did his father. And he walked in the fear of God, and the Lord was with him. Here's the principle. And they were blessed. God prospered them and put the dread of him, that king, and Israel in the heart of their enemies. Yet over and over, the same biblical record says of other kings, and the king did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the ways of God and walked according to his own mind, and the Lord departed from him. And there was famine and ruin and destruction. It happened over and over again. The book of Chronicles, 2 Samuel. God says through his record, I have never winked at sin and I never will. Listen, God hasn't changed, ladies and gentlemen. God loves us so much. God loves us so much. He will allow pain to come our way right here, right now, to get our attention. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I've kept thy word. Sometimes God has to afflict us. I'm not saying that every affliction is judgment, but sometimes it is. It's God's hand of judgment on our life to get our attention. And whenever something comes my way, you know the first thing I do? God, is it something you're trying to show me? Lord, have I entered into a certain area of my life? Listen, I'm not saying that every affliction's that way, because there's other times that trials are just come our way to make us, to purify us and to make us as pure gold. Other times the devil attacks us in different areas. But I can tell you this, whenever you and I willfully transgress the law of God, the word of God, God will send judgment our way. Not sometimes, but every time. And it may be a delayed judgment. You may think, well, I've done this and it hasn't happened. Well, I can tell you this, if you and I do not repent, that judgment will come at one point or time or another. God, listen, God hasn't winked at my sin and he hasn't winked at your sin. God is the only person you can work for, and you can lose your job. You can be fired and still keep your job for a little while. You hear me? Judgment. Whenever we disobey God's law. Blessings when we keep his word. Listen, I fear the Lord. Matt Gregory fears the Lord. I'm careful how I treat people. Listen, I'm a pastor that I want to be very careful how I handle young preachers, and I want to be very careful how I handle lay people and other people who are wanting my time and people who do me wrong. I haven't always done right. I had to repent, but I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we better fear God. We better fear God in every aspect of our life, because the dove could fly from Harvest Time Church just like that. We could lose everything. Listen, you may have everything working your way right here, right now, but it could all turn around in a moment's time, just like that. We better fear the Almighty God. Life's a vapor, it appears for a moment and then vanishes away. We're not promised tomorrow. I better walk softly and fear the Lord. I better be careful what I say, what I do, how I treat others. I better be careful the decisions that I make. I better be on guard against little sins that would enter into my heart. Listen, it's very simple, very simple. The very first thing that we do by learning the fear of the Lord, this is the first principle, is watch God's dealings with past kings. Watch. Look at someone's life. I'm very careful whenever something happens to somebody. I'm very, very careful to say, yeah, it's a judgment of God. I don't do that. But what I do is this. Oh, God, could that be your judgment? Because I have seen people that I believe were under the mighty hand of judgment, and I never said a word. I just said, "Oh God, if that's the judgment of Lord, if that's the judgment of God on their lives, help me to learn something from them." Amen. We're not the ones who determine whether or not God's judging them, but it ought to make us afraid. It ought to bring some healthy fear to our hearts and lives. Oh, God, I don't want that to happen to me. Oh, Lord, help me to stay humble before you. I understand it's not all everything that bad that happens to somebody is not judgment. I want to make that very clear. But I can tell you sometimes it is, because God does not change his pattern of dealing with his people. God would rather judge you right now to get your attention, to wake you up, to get you in an altar to repent, to turn your ways and get back on a street called straight. Why? Because ultimately he would rather you be in heaven for eternity than to have everything going your way right here, right now on this earth. He will afflict you, and what we had better do is listen to his voice. Many times I have said, Lord, are you talking to me? Lord, help me to hear your voice. Help me to humble myself before the almighty hand of God. Be careful. Don't ever put other things before God. God will take them things from you. God would do that to me. I don't believe that, Brother Matt. You will read the word of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Listen, I'm not going to put my kids, my grandkids, that I'm going to have one of these days if Jesus tarries. I don't want to put them before God. I want him to be first. Number two, I'm preaching to you on how to have a healthy fear of the Lord and how to learn the fear of the Lord. Number two, Moses also commanded Israel to read anew the commandments of the Lord to every generation. The people were called to a special assembly every 7 years to recount all God's righteous dealings with their fathers. Moses prophesied to them that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of the law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn the fear of the Lord. As long as ye live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. That's in Deuteronomy 31, 12 through 13. Moses was prophesying. New generations of children will rise up who know nothing about God. How do we fear God? We learn God through His Word. Listen, I go out and about in this society as you do, and we see such a vile spirit coming out of the youth of today. They know nothing about God. They haven't been trained in the things of God. A lot of what they have seen is hypocrisy in religion. They don't want anything to do with religion. If it's not hypocrisy, it's a powerless religion. No, it's the church's job to teach them. That's why we're going to go out in this area. We're going to bring little children in. Hopefully we'll get their parents in here and get them saved. But we're going to have a children's church, a Sunday school on a Tuesday night or a Thursday night to teach little children. Listen, you must teach your children and your grandchildren the word of the living God. You've got to train them. You can't just depend on the church or the Christian school, or you certainly can't depend on the public school, but I can tell you they teach the opposite. But what we've got to do is teach them the word of the Lord. This was the second thing on how they learned the fear of God. They taught the word of God. It's very vile today. There's a generation that's lost. If the church doesn't teach them, who will? God is saying to the church, your children aren't going to know anything about me or about my holiness. You must teach them the fear of God. Teach them the record of my dealings. This is what God did in this passage. This is what the word of the Lord says. This is how God handled Ananias and Sapphira. You remember that story out of the book of Acts? It was how they sold their possessions and all brought it to the apostles' feet. They didn't have to bring what they brought to Peter, but they lied about it. They wanted to get the stamp and the approval of everyone else because everybody was selling all their possessions and bringing it at the apostles' feet, and they were dividing it in that with the need that was in that kingdom. They didn't have to do that, but they lied. And Peter, quickened by the Holy Ghost, he said, you haven't lied to me, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. And what happened? Ananias and Sapphira, because they lied to the Holy Ghost, they dropped dead. Sweet Jesus, the King of glory, died, went to heaven, sent the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost, they lied to the Holy Ghost, so what happened? They dropped dead. The Spirit left their body, and great fear fell among all men. You hear me? We need to teach and preach and declare the holiness of Almighty God. There's all kind of things that go on in sanctuaries all over this country. They drink. Listen, don't bring any drink in here that's not a water. Amen. Don't be bringing no popcorn to say we ain't gonna be watching the Super Bowl around here. Listen, I'll drop dead. I guarantee you, God'll kill me if we start doing that kind of stuff because I know better. Amen. Listen, we're not gonna do that. There's another time and another place for those type of things. This is a holy place, a set apart place. Listen, we're not called to be like the world to win the world. And listen, don't get mad at me this morning. They've made the sanctuary. It's relevant with the times. Well, I can tell you this time is a wicked time. It's a time that separated themselves from the Almighty God. It's time that we get back and become fearful. Not a fear that we run away from God, but a fear that draws us to the Almighty God, that causes us to keep His word. All because we love Him. It's all intertwined. Love, fear, and obedience are inseparable. You can't have one without the other. You can't say you love Him. You can't sing the songs of Zion. You cannot give lip service unless you keep the word of God. What is the proof that you really love God? You keep this word. You go through that book and even at the cost of hurting somebody else's feelings, I'm not breaking my covenant with God. through his word. Amen? Revelation 21:8, you know what the Bible says about liars? All liars will have their part in a lake of fire that burns with brimstone. Well, what about Grandpa Jesus? Come on, guys. We've cheapened the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to church when we want to come. This is a faithful church body. Amen. I love this church. But we come to church when we get good and ready. When we decide that we're going to do something else, we just skip out on church and we teach our children to put everything else before God. Come on, I'm telling you, it's time. Jesus is coming back very soon. We don't have very much time left. And if you thought Jesus was going to come back tonight, I wonder how many would be in the house of God. We'd have to get the chairs out and put them in the front like we did ETYC. Why? Because we would get sober all of a sudden. I better get serious with God. Listen, if you thought Jesus was going to come back, you'd talk different, you'd act different, you'd walk different. I can tell you, you'd have a governor on that phone. You'd have an accountability partner everywhere you went. Listen, Jesus Christ is only coming back for those that are looking for his appearance. Can we stand? Can someone come to the piano? Hear me, hear me. I have had people say, man, every time I come to harvest time, I feel bad. It's usually on Sunday mornings I preach the hardest messages on Sunday morning. I love on people Sunday night, usually on Wednesday night. So that's pretty much the pattern. I feel bad. I ain't going back over there. I feel bad. Well, you got to feel bad before you can feel better. You have to. If you're in a church where you don't feel convicted, I'd run as fast as you can from that church. Because conviction's your my only hope, and it's your only hope. We're not getting out of here. We're not going to stay saved without conviction. Because I'm going to tell you, this heart, Jeremiah 17, says it's deceitful, it's desperately wicked, no man can know it. Listen, it takes everything we can to keep ourselves in the love of God. Love, fear, and obedience. But I love Jesus. The proof is, are you keeping his commandment? That's the proof. That's the proof if you really fear him and love him when you keep his word. I remember years ago, I've been saved for about 25 years. So I had been saved for just a short amount of time in this man, his wife had left. He was a Christian man. And right when his wife left, he went and got him some snuff. And he was in the church. And his first year I saved. And he said, yeah, he said, my wife left, I went and got me a can of snuff. And my first thought was, he's not afraid of God. He's not afraid of God. God saved you. He saved you, brought you out of the world. Amen. He washed you in his precious blood, and we just play with eternal things like that? Do you understand that when you take a risk in the natural, all you could lose is your life? But when you take a risk in the spiritual, you could lose your own soul. Amen? We can't get help until conviction comes. We cannot be saved unless the Holy Ghost convicts us. And if you get mad, you're only getting mad at the things you're probably guilty about. Amen? That's the only time I get mad. Only time I get defenses is if my wife tells me the truth about myself. And that's when I say, well, hold on just a minute here. Because I know it's the truth, but I don't like it. I'm going to give you three quick benefits of obedience. Number one, you'll be blessed with a manifestation of Jesus in the inner man. I showed you how to learn fear by looking back at what the Lord did in the past, the kings and other people in the Word of God. The Old Testament was written for us to teach us something, to show us the pattern of God. Number two, we learn the fear of the Lord by reading his word and knowing the ways of God. How would God handle, how does God view this? Not how does Brother Matt view this, but how does God view this? Oh, man, I'm in divine disfavor with the Holy God. Now, I'm going to, very quickly, three things, the benefits. You'll be blessed with a manifestation of Jesus in the inner man. Manifestation means he makes himself real to you. John 14 and 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You know what that means? That whenever you are obedient to the Word of God, you keep the Word of God, the Lord starts revealing himself to you in a very, very special way. I just want to know God. I just want to feel God. You ever said that? I just want to see miracles. Keep his word. He says in John 14 and 21 that if you'll keep my commandments, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Here it is. He it is that loveth me. When you keep my commandments, you love me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. I'm going to be with him. I'm going to show myself to him or her. I'm going to make myself real. Number two, another benefit of obedience. You'll be blessed with a special unction and anointing to hear his voice. Don't you want to hear his voice? 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, shall abide in you, the anointing. Number three, you'll be blessed with answered prayers and fullness of joy. I want to just linger just for a second on this last one. When you are obedient to the Word of God, you read this in the Deuteronomy, you can read this all throughout Proverbs, Psalms. One of the benefits of obedience is he hears your prayer. But a disobedient heart that allows sin to come in, he gives you the stiff arm. Anybody know what the Heisman Trophy looks like? You know what that is? I mean, he's a running back or somebody carrying the ball. And this stiff arm right here is he's warding off a defender on defense. God will give you the stiff arm. Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear. You mean to tell me, preacher, that if I'm not keeping the commandments of God and I've allowed sin into my heart and I'm in disobedience, you go ahead and cry out to God all you want. He ain't going to hear you. That's what the word of the Lord says. Your prayers are going to fall on deaf ears because he is not going to hear you. He's giving you the spiritual stiff arm. Forget it. Heal my baby. Save my daughter. Lord, can you help us in our finances? Are you living in sin? Are you keeping the word of God? If you're not, you can forget it. It's that simple. It's that simple. One of the great blessings is answered prayer and fullness of joy. John 15 and 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What a promise. What a promise. Ask God this morning to put a holy fear in your heart. Begin to walk fully in obedience to all that you know of his commands, and you will be perfected in your love for Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Keep his word. Keep his commands. When someone says, that's legalistic, say, well, Jesus must have been the most legalistic person ever because he said, if you love me, the Son of God, the only bridge between heaven and earth, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, let's just say it another way. I'm going to just say it. Just get it out there, okay? If you're not keeping his commandments, you do not love Jesus. It's that simple. If you're not keeping his commandments in all areas that you know. Now, Brother Matt, you saying that I've got to memorize the whole Bible and make sure that I know everything line upon line and precept upon precept? No. You live in what you know to be truth. God gives you a measure as you grow in him. That's what we believe in. I believe in instant sanctification. That means that the moment that the blood touches me in 1996, I was saved, transformed by the power of God. I was ready for heaven. That's what the Church of God believes, instant sanctification. I believe a little bit like the Church of God, and I believe like the Assemblies of God too. They believe in progressive sanctification. We believe that the closer you get to God, the more he reveals. In your journey along this way with Christ, he begins to reveal things about you. And when he reveals them, I repent over them. Does that mean that I wasn't ready for heaven? No, I was ready for heaven. But whenever he reveals it to me, if I say, nah, I'll keep that. I'm not going to change that. That's when I'm in trouble. Amen? Progressively, he speaks by his Spirit. So here it is right here. Young person, you don't have to know as much as what I know. Live in what you know. And I'm not saying God winks at ignorance either. You read the Word of God. You grow in this Christ. You love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. When he speaks to you, when you hear a preacher preach, you search it in the Word of God. Is it in the Word of God? Search it. And live in it. Walk in it. There's something, I close with this one statement. And that is, your faith will become alive and energized. He will manifest himself to you whenever you read it and go, I'm going to do that. Lord, give me grace to do what you've told me to do in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I'm not showing mercy to that person. I'm going to give them exactly what's coming to them. Oh, God. Help me to show mercy. And whenever you begin to work in that area, and what is mercy? That, I mean, hey, we all want mercy. We don't need, and when you begin to do those things, your faith becomes alive. It explodes in your heart. Jesus said, if you look on a woman or a woman look on a man with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. There's something about being in the line over at the grocery store, and there's a magazine, maybe not a something that would be considered pornographic, just some kind of an image there. When you do this, when you're looking and you turn your head away, you just want a victory. And your faith comes alive. Whenever you are put to the test and you know that if you tell the truth, you're going to get in trouble. You know if you tell the truth, you're in trouble. But you, in your mind, you remember what the Word of God says. One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie. Amen? Bear false witness. Oh, God, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want them to think this way of me. I'm just going to tell the truth because I want to please you, not man. I want to please you. When you choose to do that thing that's not easy to do, your faith comes alive. Something spectacular happens. That's when you know that you love him. When you're walking in his word. Can we all come and stand around these altars this morning? It's very simple. Some would say, I've tried so hard. I'm tired of trying. I'm weary. I'd rather be weary on this earth than split hell wide open. I've had people say this. They'd say this. Brother Matt, when it comes to grace, when it comes to God's mercy and his love and his forgiveness and that extreme judgment, the hard preachers or the hard churches, and these are over here that are real soft, you need to come right in the middle and interpret the Word of God. God does love us. And he has an open arms ready to forgive us. But I've had people say this to me that were extreme in the area of they always felt like they weren't saved. So they shifted. Instead of coming to the middle, they went all the way over to this stuff that's not right. They can do anything now. And grace covers everything. And I talk with them and they'll say, I was just tired. I don't believe God wants us to live like that. They say, yeah, I just don't want to feel that way all the time. My response is, then get right. Get right with God. I would rather feel that way for what? 70, 80 years on this planet than to be wrong for trillions and trillions of years in hell. I'm just tired of struggling. I'm just tired of feeling this way. Then get right. Jesus said this. I had a preacher one day stand up here and he goes, stop striving. Stop striving. Boy, my spirit just, grew cold in my spirit. I was like, oh my Lord, have mercy. What is he talking about? I went up to him after the service and I said, Jesus said, strive to enter into the straight gate. For many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. Wide is the gate, broad is the way. And he said, many there be which go thereat. Strive. 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 I didn't say work your way into heaven. I'm talking about relationship. I'm not talking about works alone. I'm talking about relationship. If you love him, keep his commandments. Love, fear, and obedience are all interconnected. Stop saying you're loving him when you're not doing what he tells you to do. Can we lift our hands to heaven? Father, I thank you this morning for the word that I believe has brought conviction and help to us today. Lord, we all stand in need of help, including this preacher today. Lord, I stand in need of help. I need your help today, Holy Ghost. I need your help today, Lord. Help me not to become desensitized, thinking that everything's all right when it's not all right. Oh God, help me to come back to the simplicity of this great gospel, to know Christ and to make him known to a lost and a dying world around us. Oh God, we need your help today. We need your help today, sweet Lamb of God. Lord, I'm asking you to touch the people of God in this service. Those watching my Facebook, I know you've convicted them. And as they watch this service, conviction will fill their hearts. Lord, help us to get back to the book. Help us to get back to the altar. Help us to understand that you hold all things in your hand. Help us, Lord, to regain that healthy fear of a holy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and worship the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Just tell him where you have failed. Tell him, Lord, I want to walk in what I know. I don't want to live in condemnation. I want to live under Holy Ghost conviction. I want to live in that peace. I want to walk in the light as you are in the light. When we do, we have fellowship with another, and the blood cleanses us from all sins. Thank you, Jesus. To hear him say, well done, someday. Oh, and I just want to please the Lord. Oh, God. To be in his will. Ask yourself, do you really love the Lord? The evidence is, are you walking in his word? Lip service is so cheap. He wants us to prove it by keeping his word. Hallelujah. Oh, and I just Can you pray for that person beside you? We're going to pray that God would help them. Please don't let the word of the Lord fall on deaf ears. Let the Lord talk to you. Lord, I'm asking you to help my brother and my sister in the name of the Lord, that you would give them a special grace and a strength. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let your work be done in the hearts and lives of your people. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, for that empowerment of the Spirit. I want to walk in your word. Keep the commandments of God. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost.
I want to be lost in His presence, found in His likeness, to hear Him say, well done, someday.
Hallelujah. Walk in what you know. Walk in what you know. Get in the Word of God. I'm going to say it one more time to you, and that is this. When you do what the Word of God tells you to do, you know what it, you read it, the Holy Ghost brings it back to your remembrance, and you do it. Your faith comes alive. Faith, how does it come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you read the Word of God, it produces a faith in your heart. But you can't just read it. You got to walk in it.